It took me a minute to figure out what it was actually called. I had to check the side because it's kind of confusing on the front. But nevertheless, the song we're going to play off of that album.
Without a new spirit of service, a new spirit of sacrifice.
If you give it all up, there's no guarantee you'll get it back.
A new spirit.
If you give it all up, there's no guarantee you'll get it back.
A new spirit. A new spirit, a sacrifice.
I'm not afraid.
I want to talk about our common responsibilities in the face of a common danger. The events of recent weeks may have helped to illuminate that challenge for some, but the dimensions of its threat have loomed large on the horizon for many years. Whatever our hopes may be for the future, for reducing this threat or living with it, there is no escaping either the gravity or the totality of its challenge to our survival and to our security, a challenge that confronts us in unaccustomed ways in every sphere of human activity. This deadly challenge imposes upon our society two requirements of direct concern, both to the press and to the president. Two requirements that may seem almost contradictory in tone, but which must be reconciled and fulfilled if we are to meet this national peril. I refer first to the need for far greater public information, and second, to the need for far greater official secrecy. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. But I do ask... But I do ask every publisher, every editor, and every newsman in the nation to re-examine his own standards and to recognize the nature of our country's peril. In time of war, the government and the press have customarily joined in an effort based largely on self-discipline to prevent unauthorized disclosures to the enemy. In times of clear and present danger, the courts have held that even the privileged rights of the First Amendment must yield to the public's need for national security. Today, no war has been declared, and however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting a declaration of war, before it imposes the self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear. And its presence has never been more imminent. It requires a change in outlook, a change in tactics, a change in missions by the government, by the people, by every businessman or labor leader, and by every newspaper. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed.
Exits, vestibules and alleys, winding roads that test the firm nerve, fortune or fatal behind the blind curve, the engine on burn, lights flash to a blur, speed work through the earth, make your motor go skirt. Tonight at noon, watch a bad moon rising, identities in crisis and conflict diamonds, blinding, staring at lights till they crying, bone gristle popping from continuous grinding.
Good morning, CKLM listeners. It is the 22nd day of April, 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening, 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, for Thursday, April 22nd, 2010. Happy Earth Day, everybody. Happy Earth Day today. And today I do have a great show for you where I do try and take apart Earth Day and do try and break down for you folks what we're being propagandized to accept as Earth Day on behalf of the Earth from the people that currently run the Earth or the New World Order. And here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays I do try and break down the forces behind globalization and the modern term for that is the new world order. If you catch up and you access all the information that's out there and you go for the good stuff, the stuff that actually deals with issues that we all face, then you will figure out that there is an interconnected system of wealthy people working together worldwide, as the clip from a speech by former President John F. Kennedy in 1961, on April 27th, 1961, at the American Newspaper Publishers Association, where he talked about the fact that we are opposed to secret societies and secret oaths. And he talked about the fact that they, the American government, the world, was opposed by a vast, monolithic, ruthless conspiracy, and so on. So you heard Mr. Kennedy break it down back in 61. So if that was going on in 1961, almost 50 years after President Kennedy was assassinated and gave that speech, he gave that speech in 61. He was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963. So the point is that he was talking about this back then, and his predecessor for president, that is Dwight D. Eisenhower, when he left office in 1961, in January of 1961, when Kennedy was inaugurated, Eisenhower warned of the threat of the military-industrial complex, whose vast power could create a scientific and military dictatorship in the future if it was unchecked. So that's the context for the world for the last 50 years. You've got two presidents in a row, both in 1961. The last guy, Eisenhower, the next guy, Kennedy, warning about this giant, vast, monolithic, ruthless conspiracy. And so what does that mean for us? Who's behind that? You know, what is the deal with this conspiracy? Well, I'll tell you right now, I got this iWeekly in front of me here in my hot little hands here. It just came out this morning at 6:17 a.m. I'm proud to say I'm one of the first holders of this. It says the green issue, and now it took a cut at it last week. But the cover of now here is a natural born killer. This is Mason Jenkins. He was convicted of murdering his sister. So Now Magazine promoted Earth Day last Thursday. This week it's iWeekly's iMagazine's turn. A paper affiliated with the Toronto Star. The green issue. We are all connected. Technological innovation begat global communication. Global communication begat progress. Progress begat environmental destruction. And now, according to writer Jeremy Rifkin, environmental destruction is inspiring technological innovation that could save our planet. And the people who run the world are looking for a unified system. They are looking for a new world order, as they call it, a new secular order where they get rid of God, get rid of old traditions, old cultures, old languages, and create a new standardized culture. And as I've mentioned here on Rood Awakening several times, and certainly here on Earth Day, I'll mention again, the principles behind the green movement are the same as the ones taken from the communist system, the Soviet Union, where we're all supposed to sacrifice now so we can have resources in the future. And it's amazing, you know, what they'll get us to believe here, or re-believe, as they merge the systems of the East and West into a globalized one world, new world order. And that's what's happening here. And one of their main things as oligarchs, as people that run the world, as super rich people that can buy countries and destroy entire economies and that have more money than they know what to do with, they want power, and they also want power over us, and that means lowering our living standards. So they keep trying to tell us that progress is a bad thing, and that we shouldn't be such fans of it, and we should use less and lower our living standards and all sacrifice. And this is part of United Nations Agenda 21, to confiscate all our property, because they basically want to say, yeah, you can't use it because it's bad for the environment, so get off of there, we'll take it, and we'll be good stewards of the earth. So do keep that in mind, folks, that Earth Day is really rich people's property day, and we're supposed to worship rich people's property, the New World Order's property, and trust them to manage it. But Max Kaiser on the Alex Jones Show from April 15th does have a couple of things to say about that. He's a noted economist. He's going to break down the bankers for you, and then I'll get back into what they're doing with us, with the earth, and with Earth Day.
They were betting against the housing market while telling people it was good and paying for insurance to have it AAA rated. Then the looting of AIG, that was the big payout kitty they used to pay the criminals. Now they want more. They're calling it banking reform, but it gives the same group power over other financial institutions that they want to wreck their competition. Max Keiser, you've got the floor. Tell us about financial terrorism and how it works and what we're facing.
Well, I have been doing many reports about this and films for a number of years. I mean, you mentioned that these the attacks are coming, but they're here now, and they're happening now, and they've been happening for the past 2 years. These are financial attacks. When the crisis hit in 2008, people were saying, wow, this is a once-in-a-100-year phenomenon. Nobody saw it coming. Now we know that Lehman Brothers had a bank right down the street where they had this huge slush fund that they parked $50 billion worth of cash and debt so that at the end of the quarter, when they needed to report to the SEC what their cash holding was, they could play accounting games with their little fake bank down the street. We know that Goldman Sachs now, according to the SEC, allegedly involved in fraud in terms of selling tainted bonds to investors all over the world, including in Europe, where now you see problems with the Greek economy blowing up and other countries' economies are blowing up. And, of course, Iceland went through this already 2 years ago as I made that film about it in 2007, 2008. The Icelandic krona collapsed. The Icelandic economy collapsed. And now, in an ironic fitting fit of poetic justice, the volcanoes are erupting in Iceland, and they're sending out this toxic cloud of ash to the UK, who wanted to extract even another $5 billion from Iceland to appease the financial terrorists. But the gods, the volcanoes in Iceland, are taking on the fake handiwork of the fake servant of God, Lloyd Blankfein, and they are doing the true work of God by putting these bankers on notice that there are forces out there that are bigger than even their corruption. And it goes back to, you know, right before the French Revolution. There was a huge volcano in Iceland. It blanketed the globe in dust and ash. The agriculture failed, which led to the government of France failing on its financial obligations, which gave rise to the French Revolution. It started with a volcano in Iceland. There's a direct parallel. Look, obviously, the volcano is demanding that we sacrifice some bankers to the volcano. I say, let's get Blankfein, let's get Jamie Dimon, let's get Dick Fuld, and throw them into the volcano. That's the only way we can stop the nightmare. Sacrifice bankers to the volcano.
Well, let's get serious here for a moment, but that is an intriguing idea there, Herr Doctor. But expanding on that...
You know, we're back to pre-Industrial Revolution days of feudalism, because what they want to do is they want to pursue an economy of lords and serfs. They want us to be free-range slaves tied into our... the reason you don't see bread lines in America is because they're all on these swipe cards. They're getting food stamps. Vis-a-vis and swipe cards. They're getting food stamps.
Otherwise, now, what is it, 30-something million now on food stamps?
America, just like in the Depression.
But let's go back to volcanoes. Later in the next hour after you leave us, I will get into the AP. Top volcanologists are warning that the super caldera that's four states in size, centered in and around Yellowstone, could blow. I mean, this is becoming biblical with all these earthquakes hitting major cities and volcanoes blowing up and tsunamis. And now they're saying that the super volcano, thousands of times bigger than what Iceland has, could blow up. I mean, hell, it could be the end of the world, Keiser.
Well, I mean, everyone understands the crisis happening now. Finally, the SEC, they finally have charged Goldman with fraud, and now this is going to unleash a wave of lawsuits for all the activity that's been going on for the past 5 to 10 years, ever since the passage of the Futures Modernization Act back in the year 2000, which swept in a wave of all this fraud. But I can tell you right now what the fraud is going to be. 2 years from today, you're going to be doing a show talking about how Hollywood blew up because of derivatives. And this is just happening right now. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission has just approved derivative trading for box office futures contracts.
And that's the next bubble. I want to get into that later.
You know, these pedophile priests who are betraying the church. Here you've got Jim Cramer, who's supposed to be a capitalist. he's betraying capitalism by performing the essentially the same thing on markets, by fiddling with markets in a most unholy manner. And he will be damned, and he will go to hell as a result.
And then always telling us that no matter how much money they steal in government bailouts, that it's the free market, when it's the opposite, as Ron Paul has said, it's corporatism, it's fascism.
It's rigged market capitalism. And the next chapter in rigged market capitalism is going to be rigged Hollywood. And they're rigging Hollywood right now. And 2 years from today, I'll be on your show, and I'll say, wow, the Hollywood industry blew up because of all the derivatives trading, and nobody saw it coming. It was, who could have seen this happen? And I'm telling you right now exactly what's going to happen. And because Hollywood does $10 billion a year in box office, the bankers said this is a way we can turn this into $200 or $300 billion in derivatives. We're going to run it up. We're going to mass huge fees. We're going to destabilize the entire industry, and we're going to bust it out, just like the mob will bust out a pizza joint or a dry cleaner shop. They just torch it because Hollywood's never been torched by derivatives in this manner. It's about to get derivatives by Cantor Fitzgerald and their Cantor Exchange and another group called Trend Exchange. The locusts are moving in. They're going to destroy that industry. They're going to just take all the money they possibly can, and they're going to leave a dead carcass to be bailed out by the taxpayer.
Max Kaiser, stay there, which is what the bankers like. Then they'll come in with taxpayer money and take it over. And look, scientists had always said that asteroids didn't hit the Earth but every few million years. But Shoemaker-Levy comet that broke up in five pieces and hit Saturn proved, because now they can look at the solar system, that planets are being hit every few decades by big asteroids. And Earth about every 100 years gets hit by one. And so we are looking right now, statistically, for that to happen. Volcanoes, they thought, didn't erupt that much. Look at all the eruptions. Look at all the earthquakes we're now having. We live in a very volatile Earth. But don't worry, there's another religion, not just the fake Wall Street people. There's the derivatives with the greenhouse gas taxes, where you pay an indulgence to the church, i.e. Al Gore. He waves a wand. And Max Kaiser, if we paid taxes to Al Gore and Barack Obama and to George Soros and others, would they wave a wand and stop the earthquakes and volcanoes? Because they are in the news today, and the UN is saying this is global warming that caused the volcano.
Well, carbon trading, which is an offshoot of global warming, as I pointed out on your show before, is just another derivative nightmare being cooked up by the folks on Wall Street. And once they bust out the real estate market and they bust out the dot-com market or the savings and loan or the long-term capital management, you know, they need fresh markets to blow up. And carbon trading and box office futures clearly are going to be those markets. Cantor Fitzgerald, by the way, is big in both of those markets. You know, Cantor Fitzgerald is a firm that you don't hear a lot about. It's not as big as the other firms, except they did lose the most bankers of any firm on 9/11. That's probably their most notoriety. But they are involved in both of these markets, and carbon trading is just another way to create derivatives upon derivatives, which are designed to blow up. They're designed to create catastrophe so that the government has to come in and bail out the counterparties, as they're called. But meanwhile, all the fees that have been generated, billions of dollars in fees, are kept by the people who...
So they make money on the way up, and then they make money on the way down with a bailout, and then it always is a selective bailout, destroying their competition. Okay, Max Kaiser, finishing up. We'll throw that London Guardian article back up on screen, where it says that this game Farmville user runs up 900 pound or basically a $1,500 debt. 12-year-old boy didn't know basically what he was part of. And you said this is something new that the manipulators are going to do. I remember you probably 4 or 5 months ago talking about it here on the show. Listeners remember it as well. Why is this so important?
Because Facebook has over 400 million users, and they're going to start to roll out a new virtual currency. And this virtual currency is a new currency that is going to have no collateral whatsoever. They can just issue all the currency they want, but it does have interest bearing attached to it. So you'll be looking at your account, you'll say, here's 10,000 more Facebook dollars, and you'll start spending it, and you'll start playing with it on Farmville, or you'll start interacting on these various virtual platforms. And at the end of the month, you'll say, well, the interest on your virtual currency is due. You owe us $20, real money. And I'm looking at a story that you posted on your site on March 20 called, it says, a German central bank admits that credit is created out of thin air. This is on Infowars.com. It says that, talks about most people think that banks lend solely on deposits. But in fact, the German central bank admits that they lend without any deposits at all. That's the definition of a virtual currency. They just lend. They have no deposits. Now, Facebook, which has 400 million users, soon to have 500 million users, are going to just lend virtual currency to people with an interest attached to it. They're going to be interacting with it, and at the end of the month, they'll owe real dollars interest, which, of course, if they can't pay it, then it kicks up to the federal government. Then they start to garnish your pay. Then they start to try to get the cash from you, and you're right back at that casino gulag that I've talked about so many times.
Well, let's go one further. I remember when I was in college and had absolutely no money. Literally 2, 3, 4 credit cards a week were coming to me. And now that I have decent credit and I'm not in debt that much, I don't get but a few credit cards a year sent to me in the mail. So they send you credit cards backed up with nothing, 20-30% interest, and literally make you a debt slave. That's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, exactly. You're dealing with the same thing, except it's more insidious than that, because you're going to be, because online, it's in a game environment. And here's another story you should look at. It's on the Financial Times. It's called Games Prey on Your Mind by Christopher Caldwell. It talks about how these environments, like on Facebook and other places, are designed by behavioral economists and casino operators to get you addicted, as you would in any casino. So it's not even economics at this point. It's just predatory lending by casino operators using these virtual currencies. It's a great story. It talks about in detail this new trend of applying behavioral economics and psychology to get people hooked on these virtual games and to just keep drawing down on virtual dollars, which means that they have to pay back in real money on the interest on those dollars.
And let's be clear, that's what the New World Order is, and they define themselves this way now. It's global private central banks who are Ponzi scheme operators, but instead of the Ponzi scheme going bust and they've got a hightail with the money, now they take over your society after each bust that they create, and everything is literally like a matrix-like system where you take the game Second Life and others with tens of millions of users. They're spending 10, 20 hours a day in some cases. I've read articles of people dying after 3, 4 days playing these games, not even getting up from their chair. And they're spending real money.
A couple was raising a virtual child on an online game. They were in the video parlor for 12 hours. They neglected their real child who died of starvation.
And so when we talk about not being able to wake the public up that they're under mind control, now they admit what we already knew over a decade ago, propaganda placement. The corporations call it behavior placement, where the government and corporations are paying for ads that brainwash us inside of the television program. So when you're talking to your neighbor and you can't get through to them about real issues, it's because they're literally under mind control.
Economically speaking, what banks know and what politicians know is that everybody will take free loans. And it goes back to the days when General Motors Acceptance Corporation, or GMAC, figured out that they could lend money to people to buy cars. And that's how they became number one over Ford Motor. And that's why GMAC became much bigger to Ford Motor, the lending to buy cars, than the actual car manufacturing. That's why they allowed cars manufactured to go to Japan, because they made more money on lending and not on car manufacture. And that was that trend has been in place for 30 years, where lending and financialization of the economy has taken precedence over all other aspects of the economy, and it has created a society that only looks at interest rates to determine their own self-worth and how much money they owe at the end of the month. And they're constantly willing to gamble at any given moment to try to get that debt level down. And of course, they're always going to lose, because the economy is operated by casino operators whose business it is to create losing gambles.
And so we have this false economy waging war against the real economy, another reason for the fake environmental movement that allows the casino operators to go in and selectively shut down any business or corporation that doesn't play ball with them. I mean, this is a psychological warfare system run by a bunch of criminals, and the public is almost defenseless because they've been conditioned by the mind control that it's cool to not care.
Well, because these games and currencies are attached to basic technologies like the use of a phone or other basic utilities like electricity, it's unavoidable, or like television. And so people come into contact with this, whether they like it or not. They are forced to come into contact with this, and they're forced to become hooked on this. So it's just like a ghetto environment. People in the ghetto get hooked on drugs because it's all around them. And this new Gulag casino ghetto of virtual currencies preys on the fact that people are unable to escape from this digital casino gulag envelopment of their lives by bankers and technologists and virtual currency lenders.
And now doctors are all over the place saying the 3D televisions literally put people into a dream state even more than regular TV, and that it's causing seizures, it's causing people to pass out, it's causing mental illness, and all of television is about to convert to 3D. We are being inserted into this mental illness.
Well, that's just part and parcel of a trend, which is to negate the reality of real world, the natural forces of reality, and to accept a digital reality as being real. And that's what's so fantastic about this volcano in Iceland, is that it's forcing people to understand that there is a real world, that there is an Earth that can do things that will change people's lives. And for this reason, this volcano in Iceland is quite important for people to understand that it's not a digital event, it's not a Hollywood event. This is an actual volcano affecting the actual planet Earth that we live in. And maybe this, you know, if it can shut down the grid and get people to understand that they are human for at least a brief moment, then maybe there's a moment of sanity. And
we see the UN coming in and saying, pay us taxes and we'll stop the volcano. That's actually in the news. So you have the establishment waging war, literally, against reality and trying to force everyone into this matrix. I mean, almost every adult male I know doesn't research, isn't involved, doesn't care about their future, but they play fantasy football and really care, believing they own sports teams.
Well, this is what I've said is happening now. The fraudsters and the virtual currency and the prediction market operators are moving into this box office space with box office futures contracts. It's going to be a huge wave that's going to wash over. You're going to have Jim Cramer talking about Scarlett Johansson moving up and down on the Cantor Exchange and Iron Man Part 2 and Iron Man Part 3. It's going to go global. People won't be able to resist it because you're mixing the fraud of Wall Street with the fantasy of Hollywood for a toxic cocktail that's going to blow people's accounts out of the... once again, they're going to lose all their money, and it's going to make some bankers very, very rich.
Literally, we are being inserted into a matrix right now. This is how it's happening. We're being sucked into the computers, sucked into the television, sucked into the false reality so fast. Now, let's get into gold.
And real estate.
Let's go. Microphone check, I make them all bounce. Every teller in Bank of America, make them all count. You gon' need the whole step to add up the amount. It's gonna take to pay me off to keep me out your house. To keep me in
and
my
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was, again, Max Kaiser on the Alex Jones radio show from the 19th of April, I believe. I'll post the links at blackkrishna.blogspot.com. You can also stream these radio shows after they're done, when they're posted around 8:30 a.m. at archive.org, at radio4all.net. It's radio, the number 4all.net, and at podomatic.com. So, again, that was Max Kaiser on the Alex Jones show. I went through a variety of things there on the Alex Jones radio show with respect to what's going on with respect to the financial markets and the financial community, and how it nexuses in with the volcanoes and natural occurrences and the carbon trading market, and then how our reactions to all this are controlled through our interfacing with technology. And I'm clicking here on Earth Day and clicking Google News because I do like to break down what we're all being told. I'm a fan of esoteric information. I found a whole bunch of it, but it's really neat to see how they're celebrating. So the first article here is the environment blog from theguardian.co.uk. The Guardian's the largest paper in Europe. And let's see what they have to say here. Earth Day 2010 grows a Google Doodle forest for its 40th birthday. Google marks Earth Day with Doodle, but has the green movement outgrown this worldwide celebration started in 1970? Well, I suppose we'll see. It says here, fire up Google today and you'll be greeted by the Google logo as a lush forest. The web giants nod to in celebration of the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. This so-called Google Doodle appears to depict a collection of six parrots, which I'm taking, Google doesn't provide explanatory gallery notes, to be a reference to the fact that 2010 is also the International Year of Biodiversity to be marked on the 22nd of May. So you can see that Earth Day is 40 years old, and that is 40 years of environmental propaganda on this issue. Now, I got to say here on Earth Day on the 22nd of April 2010, I don't want the Earth to suck. I don't want to break the Earth. I don't want to pollute the Earth. I don't want to destroy the Earth. If we destroyed the Earth, where would we sit? Exactly. We'd have no place to sit. We do like sitting, and we do like watching big TVs. And so, I certainly don't want to be someone who comes across as someone who's anti-Earth. But I am anti-Earth Day, and I am anti many of the tenets of the modern environmental movement.
Don't understand.
Won't you tell me?
Cause I pray every day.
What's the master plan?
The master plan.
Spent so many days.
Hey, yo, folks. Sorry, I am doing the show today without headphones. Couldn't find any right now. So mixing is a little bit tougher, but hopefully things are going okay out for you in CKLN radio listener land. Let me break down the history of the environmental movement for you. My own experiences with it, the first time I started to question it, I didn't. I have to confess here on the 22nd of April 2010, my honest opinion, I didn't. And it was because it was mentioned offhand by Alex Jones, who you heard interviewing Max Kaiser earlier in a series of clips I chopped together for you about a variety of issues. But I was watching the movie 9/11 Road to Tyranny back in, I think it was the summer of 2004, and I was still sort of left-leaning in my political aspirations. I always had an idea of trying to figure out exactly what was going on, which is why I kept going past the left-right paradigm and found the fact that they were both controlled by the New World Order, or a New World Order group of globalists who wanted to manage political systems and economic systems and cultural systems worldwide to standardize them and to centralize power to control all of them in a one world government system. But back in 04, I think the summer of 04, I discovered the 9/11 Road to Tyranny movie, and I was started dabbling in some of the conspiracy stuff, what's real, what's not, who knows. And I believe it was summer of 04, and at the beginning, Jones was doing a little intro for the movie, a much younger Jones, slightly thinner Jones back in the day, doing the intro for 9/11 Road to Tyranny, a movie about, of course, the 9/11 attacks, the Oklahoma attacks, and many other things, as I was to find out. But the very intro of the movie was, the elite, want to stage terror attacks so that they can take over the world, and so they can control it with the phony environmental movement and keep the life extension technologies for themselves. And then he just moved right on from there into some other stuff, and I was like, what? And those two statements on their own caused me to question the rest of the movie for a lot longer than I should have, I suppose. And so, that's how dangerous it is to say random things like that that activate some of the propaganda. Because myself here, as your CKLN radio host on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, unabashedly and unafraidedly talking about the New World Order and how horrible they are and how we need to kick their butts. I wasn't able to accurately process, you know, what I'd heard about this or look into it more, because I was so anti what he was saying, even though the rest of the movie made sense. That's 9/11 Road to Tyranny. Still an excellent film. Strongly recommended. Phenomenal proof there. When they break down the Oklahoma City bombings, the famous ones with Tim McVeigh, that name Tim McVeigh, which all of us learned to know as associated with militias and patriot groups throughout the U.S., that Oklahoma was an inside job. And one of the reasons that you can tell this in 9/11 Road to Tyranny is that there was so much more media back then, back in 95, than there is now here 15 years later here in 2010. There was so many more independent media sources in Oklahoma that the rare mainstream news footage in 9/11 Road to Tyranny from just one city is incredibly there's an incredible amount of it, and so there's a number of TV stations, a number of newspapers, a number of radio stations, and they all were on the scene immediately reporting a second bomb in Oklahoma, which the feds later denied, then later admitted, reporting other people on the scene, which the feds later denied, then later admitted, but said they weren't looking into it, and everyone should shut up. And people like General Benton K. Parton, a U.S. military explosives expert, pointing out that it couldn't have just been one rider truck driven up to the Oklahoma City Murrah Federal Building, Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, and detonated, because there were blast points on the other side of columns that weren't that badly damaged, which means bombs had to be put on the other side of those columns. The explosion wasn't all coming from one side in the rider truck. But you know, again, go watch 9/11 Road to Tyranny to see more about that. One of the reasons I bring it up, outside from referencing it as my first instance where I was told to question the environmental movement, is because, of course, the powers that be evil, the New World Order, and especially the American propaganda arm, which is exporting its propaganda worldwide, including war on terror propaganda, is now ginning up the conditions for another false flag terrorist attack, particularly a nuclear one. Barack Obama convened a meeting, largest meeting of world leaders convened by an American president since World War II recently, to talk to them about how, you know, dangerous it was that that there were terrorists out there who could get their hands on nuclear material, enrich it, create a bomb, smuggle it in somewhere, and blow up a major city. And so so we are being psychologically prepped to see this as inevitable. And if something blows up, we might even say, oh, we're smart, because we happen to catch enough random bits of news to get us to co-sign this and say, oh yeah, I knew it was coming. I'm not stupid. I knew it was coming. I knew they'd do something sooner or later, and so on. So those conditions are being prepped right now. But back to the environmental movement. When Jones initially said that, the phony environmental movement, it really struck me. It really wounded me to some degree, because I thought, wow, you know, here I am trying to like you and you say something that stupid. But turns out he's not. For the last 100 years, the modern environmental movement has been developed and founded by, among others, the Rockefeller family in the United States, as well as other American oligarchs. And what their goal is, and what their goal was their goal was to create a form of global property management through the global phony environmental movement. And so for the last 100 years, they've been funding various causes. They've been environmentalists. They want huge tracts of land, you know, where they can where they can live comfortably and use it as they see fit, and they want to deprive us of that, because feudal lords have always tried to deprive serfs and slaves of their property. Even now, here in Canada, we have something known as freehold land. Freehold. And if you look into what freehold means, it means that the government has a right to take that land from you whenever it wants. And so it's not really your property. You can't pass it on to your kids. And as we move deeper into the 20th century and the environmental movement becomes one of the driving principles of our society, the sustainability agenda and UN Agenda 21 in particular, the UN Agenda 4, sustainability being implemented worldwide, where we're all supposed to use less, as the song to open the show, Slumdog Millionaire, talking about the movie Slumdog Millionaire. You wonder why little independent film about a a slum in India, won Oscar for Best Picture. Well, they are trying to glamorize poverty. They want us poor and happy. They want us fantasizing and dreaming, whether it's online, using Facebook, as Max Kaiser suggested. I know Toronto has some of the most Facebook users in the world, so hopefully you folks out there understood a bit of what Mr. Kaiser was saying about the use of fake money to get your real money, and the use of a fake reality to take your real reality, which is essentially what's being the game that's being run on us right now. So the Rockefellers and the others at the top of this New World Order system, the Rothschilds and the Queen and Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands and other American and European oligarchs, they're eugenicists. And 100 years ago, you know, when they decided to go for this aggressive one world government plan, they planned to take control over all property, and by extension, because of course we have to hang out somewhere, plan to take control over all people, and through this process plan to implement a number of schemes to cull our populations. And there's tons of evidence of this. If you look in the last, you know, 100 years, people like Bertrand Russell, Aldous Huxley, Julian Huxley, who founded UNESCO, the United Nations Arm for Education and Cultural Studies Worldwide. If you look into the works of all these people, what you'll find is you'll find that... excuse me. There you go. What you'll find is they're all working towards one agenda. They're all pushing things through predictive programming and other memes. And to give you a little slice of that, I'm going to break down some Alan Watt for you. Sorry about this. I do have to shut up the next show. I know Michael's going to be late, and I know that Bill Watson's off today, and Jazz Bungie is going to be hosted by Michael Clifton. So I've got to pull a file for him as I check this email here. And so while I do, I'm going to leave you with a little bit of Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com breaking down predictive programming, how they plant ideas in our heads that they activate later. And if you don't mind out there, CKLN radio listeners, as your host here, I do try and bring a philosophical perspective to the show while breaking down a few specific stories. But definitely to give you an idea of how to interpret the world. So it's not just passing on facts or repeating stuff we learned, but actually thinking more about our reality so we can think of ways to affect it. On that note, I present Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com on predictive programming and thought crimes.
And again, they give you the movies to prepare your mind. That's called predictive programming. What you see in a movie, because it's fictional, your guard is not up, your sensor part of your brain is not up, you're enjoying the movie, they give you a human interest story, here's the bad guys, here's the good guys trying to catch bad guys, here's the chase, they get the guy in the end, but in the way you're getting programmed with all the other ideas that they want to sink into you. The movie storyline is just the carrier for the messages, that's all it is a carrier. And it says here, from this article here, crime prediction software is here, and it's a very bad idea. There are no naked precogs inside glowing jacuzzis yet, but the Florida State Department of Juvenile Justice will use analysis software to predict crime by young delinquents. Remember the movie Minority Report? So it's putting potential offenders under specific prevention and educational programs. Goodbye, human rights. They will use this software on juvenile delinquents, so I'll start on them, using a series of variables to determine the potential for these people to commit another crime. Depending on this probability, it says here, not possibility, but probability, they will put them under specific re-education programs. That's straight out of the Soviet Union. Re-education programs. So now we have gulags with 5,000 volts going through them and re-education programs. They started off the re-education programs under the guise, and it was under the guise of sensitivity training. Yeah, that's how they started it. Yeah. And they always knew where they were going with it. Deepak Advani, Vice President of Predictive Analytics at IBM. There's IBM, the guys that brought up the Kardec system for us all to be chipped, of course. They work with Rand Corporation, IBM, the beautiful IBM, or IBEAM, as I like to call it, because that's really what it is. also came up with a way to number people in concentration camps, the Jews and the Gypsies. There's a lot of Christians there too, Jehovah's Witnesses and all the rest of it, and lots of Slavs got numbered, tattooed. To keep the records tidy, you understand, they've got to have everybody numbered.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was again Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com from the 19th of April, 2010, where he talked about predictive programming, talked about thought crimes, and talked about numbering and so on. And so back to the environmental movement here. Before I break down, Earth Day celebrates 40 years of education and advocacy. And even as Earth Day celebrates 40 years of education and advocacy, there are still serious threats to our planet, from Vivian Song, Special to the Star. Before I break that down, I'm going to a website here called green-agenda.com. Green-agenda.com. And I'm going to break down a bit of what they have to say here. There's a quote from the Club of Rome, the premier environmental think tank, from a 1991 book they published here, which says, "The common enemy of humanity is man in searching for a new enemy to unite us. We came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself." And that's why you'll see so many tenets of the Green Movement aimed at the general public. They want us to pay 5 cents a bag, $8 for a light bulb. They want us to pass upgrades. And they're in this new communist feudal system here. You can see the Toronto Live Green posters going up there where they're talking about, you can do this. You get rebates now. You get rebates now. So what they do is they pass a law that guarantees you have to buy, you know, a $500, you know, thermostat regulator, you know, and then they offer you a $50 rebate, and they say, see how nice we are? And again, this is all about social control. This is all about limiting our use of resources. So the wealthy people in the world who control enough institutions to launch this anti-global warming campaign worldwide, the people with enough juice to do that, they are the ones behind this. And people like Al Gore and the people he works for are planning on stealing all the world's resources for themselves, depriving us of them, and through the process of depriving us of them and de-industrializing us, taking all the industry out of the West here so that we don't produce anything, and when our dollar collapses, if it collapses, you know, we'll be like, oh crap, we can't just buy stuff anymore, and we don't know how to make stuff anymore, and geez, we're screwed. And so that is the plan in a nutshell. And it says here from Professor Stephen Schneider, Stanford Professor of Climatology, we need to get some broad-based support to capture the public's imagination. So we have to offer up scary scenarios, make simplified dramatic statements, and make little mention of any doubts. Each of us has to decide what the right balance is between being effective and being honest. And this is what they really believe. And you'll get people at the very top that know why they're lying. They know they're lying for the New World Order. They know they're lying so the central banksters of the world can grab all the property and control everyone on the planet through phony environmentalism, and by getting half the public or most of the public to cheer for this neo-feudal communism. But at the lower levels, people will say, and they have said to me, because I've been studying this for a few years, and so I kind of casually, you know, take whacks at it on a regular basis. People will say, at least we're doing something, you know, people won't react if we don't, you know, lie, if we don't exaggerate things. And the movies, the disaster movies like 2012 and like the other ones where there's earthquakes and tidal waves and end of the world scenarios, they all help implant this in our brain. The fact the United Nations can blame the Iceland volcanoes, which, as Max Kaiser said, are dumping soot on British banksters right now. If they can try and blame that on global warming, the Earth's warming up, so you're going to see more stuff like that, then, you know, you can see them exaggerating, because volcanoes are caused by stuff going on underground, the Earth's crust crushing together and spewing forth the lava that is sort of traveling in rivers below it. And it has nothing to do with global warming, which should only be about a a degree over the next 20 years anyway. So how it can affect, you know, the Earth's temperature to the point where it causes a volcano in a fairly short span of time is a mystery to me and everyone else. But let's go to the star here. Let's go to what Miss Vivian Song has to say here. Inside the hallowed halls of academia resides a potent mix of youthful idealism, unbridled energy, and a dash of willful defiance. It's where young people begin to challenge the world they live in, ask questions, and, if unsatisfied with the answers, mobilize to voice their discontent. Interesting. And there's a small group of children here looking over a box, and it says in the picture, Echo Team members from Jackman Public School, left to right, Ben Martin, Yasmina Mail, Menica Derej, Catherine Chen, Benjamin Todd, and Finley Dunn. Jackman is considered one of the, quote, greenest public schools in the city. They're going for the kids, folks, and when the government says we all have to use less and we complain, they're going to teach our kids to police us and say this has to be done in the name of the Earth. You don't want to destroy the Earth. We all have to do our part. You have to do your part. If you don't do your part, maybe you'll convince someone else not to do their part. And then if none of us do our part, then you'll break the Earth. And so that's the propaganda going on there. Articles from the New York Times recently titled Pint-Size Echo Police to Look For. And they're scaring the hell out of the kids with this. And the Pint-Size Echo Police are being lauded by the New York Times and sometimes even their parents for snitching on their parents, harassing their parents, saying, Mom, it's a shame you drive an SUV. Mom, you left the tap running too long. Mom, you left the light on that in that room. Every time you leave, even if you leave for 5 minutes, you turn it off. And these kids are being trained by the state using the phony environmental movement to harass and rat on their parents and their neighbors and each other, all in the name of this phantom concept of stopping global warming. And if you've checked outside of the last few weeks, folks, over the last few years, since this was launched in March 2007, since the UN IPCC launched the global warming propaganda campaign in March of 07, they said it would get warm fast if we don't act right now, and it would melt the ice, you know, the glaciers, and we'd all drown. Well, we didn't act right now, and it didn't get any warmer, so they were wrong. It's that simple. Whether it's incompetence or malice, we shouldn't have to pay for it, and we shouldn't have to reorganize our whole society around it. So, but as you can see, and as you'll see throughout the day, there's just tons and tons and tons of this stuff out there to go through. You will see tons and tons of ways that we're all being propagandized by this. And people will say, isn't it good to use less? Well, no, it's bad. It's a bad habit to get into the idea that we're saving the Earth by using less. We're saving the Earth by using less. We're saving the Earth by using less. Because then, you know, they're going to scare us more, and we'll want to save the Earth more, and we'll want to use less and less and less, and we won't realize who's taking it. We won't realize how the people asking us to use less. We won't realize how the people asking us to use less are living, when in fact they're living really well off these scams. As Max Kaiser noted, the carbon credit market is actually just there to be another derivative scheme. And that derivative scheme is essentially where they take debts and they resell them, and they use all sorts of semi-legal or probably should be illegal financial instruments to leverage that debt over and over again and profit from it in the short term while leaving that debt too big to ever pay back, in which case it, you know, collapses whatever industry it was. And that could have been dot-com industry, housing industry, and Mr. Max Kaiser here on today's show has suggested that Hollywood and the green market are two of the next to fall. A few years ago when I started looking into these issues, I did tell people that the red pill won't, or the blue pill won't work. They're destroying the matrix. And the reason I mention that is because, yeah, I think that when you can see them taking down Hollywood with a giant financial Ponzi scheme soon and corrupting all of our entertainment, I'm walking around, I'm watching people on the streets walking around dressed as zombies, promoting the new Nightmare on Elm Street movies, faces all painted. And they seem like a really nice bunch of kids, and a lovely young lady was nice enough to give me a t-shirt with this on it at a Second Cup patio, I think yesterday or the day before. So, you know, thanks to her for that. You know, as I noticed them with kind of a bemused, perplexed look on my face, she kind of looked over and smiled. And, you know, I think she knew where I was coming from and gave me the t-shirt, but she was being nice. But yeah, I did think it was wacky, and I do think it's wacky that we are being dehumanized by our culture like this. And yet, they're giving us a form of earth worship, so that even if we do learn to dislike people through all the torture in movies, the Saw movies, and on the TV shows, and there's a new one coming out with I think Morgan Freeman, Samuel Jackson. There you go. Yeah, you get those two confused on occasion. With Samuel Jackson, where he tortures a guy for a lengthy period of time to stop several nukes from going off in cities. This is at least coming down the Hollywood pipeline, as far as we know. While they're doing this, you know, and they're removing our faith in people, in what we can do and what each other can do, they're trying to increase our faith in a concept of Earth with Earth Day and other environmental, you know, massive and well-funded and well-promoted environmental initiatives. They're trying to give us an Earth worship that is fundamentally part of an anti-human eugenics New World Order agenda. So do keep that in mind. Back to this article here in the Star before Mr. Clifton comes in and takes over for some jazz bungee. He'd give me some jazz to play, so I'll break that down in a sec. But do want to finish this special Earth Day episode and make sure everything's prepped before I leave. Is this it? Here we go. Here we go. Gotcha. Okay. Okay, folks, you'll be good to go in a sec. The bottom line with Earth Day and with a lot of these ideas and a lot of these scams is that we just have to see what's widely promoted. If it's promoted everywhere, then you can be sure it's propaganda. If it's not promoted everywhere, then it's and it's rare mainstream news that contradicts the propaganda, then you can be more certain it's truth. So I'm going to give you an example of that. I'm going to type in 31,000 scientists global warming, and it takes us to thepetitionproject.com, and also an article in thetelegraph.co.uk. So, again, rare mainstream news stories. This really was from Graham Tibbetts in the UK Telegraph, a big paper just like the Toronto Star here, or the Globe and Mail for that matter. And it says here, scientists signed petition denying man-made global warming. More than 31,000 scientists have signed a petition denying that man is responsible for global warming by Graham Tibbetts. And it's still up here from the 30th of May, 2008. The academics, including 9,000 with PhDs, claim that greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide and methane are actually beneficial for the environment. And one reason is that plants like to inhale carbon dioxide and exhale oxygen. So all of us benefit, they benefit, we get more fruits and vegetables out of it. If it gets warmer, even the polar bears benefit. They can just punch through the ice easier to grab seals or whatever the heck else they want to eat. So it all works out fine. The petition was created back in 1998 by an American physicist, the late Frederick Seitz, in response to the Kyoto Protocol a year earlier. And it urged the U.S. government to reject the treaty and said, quote, "The proposed limits on greenhouse gases would harm the environment, hinder the advance of science and technology, and damage the health and welfare of mankind." It added, "There is no convincing scientific evidence that human release of greenhouse gases is causing or will in the foreseeable future cause catastrophic heating of the Earth's atmosphere and disruption of the Earth's climate. Moreover, there is substantial scientific evidence that increases in atmospheric carbon dioxide may produce many beneficial effects upon the natural, plant, and animal environments." And even greenhouses. If you go to a greenhouse in Toronto, they might cop to the fact that they'll pump in two or three or four times as much carbon dioxide to help their own plants grow faster, bigger yields, you know, more fruits or veggies or flowers or whatever you're trying to grow, and so on. And the petition was reissued last year by the Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine. So that's in 2007. An independent research group, partly in response to Al Gore's film on climate change, An Inconvenient Truth. Its president, Arthur Robinson, said, quote, "If this many American scientists will sign this petition, you certainly can't continue to contend that there is a consensus on this subject." And there it is, folks. And there it is. And you can go to petitionproject.org to see the original petition. And understand that since 1998, dozens and then hundreds and then thousands and then tens of thousands of scientists have been questioning the building and growing global warming, and now climate change. So no matter what happens, it's our fault. Agenda. And so this has been happening for over 20 years, for 22 years. Here on April 22nd, 2010, it's worth noting, scientists have been questioning the global warming, climate change myth and phenomena, and saying it's a big scam, run by the people who pushed it. And when you have this going on for over 22 years, and when you have people like Lord Christopher Monckton, former aide to Margaret Thatcher, who you heard this week here on Rude Awakening, talking about how the phony environmental movement is a giant scam by rich people to confiscate our property and store and install a new neo-feudalist system, and you have many others like Michael Shaw at freedomadvocates.org. Working on this for over 10 years, 13 years. When you have Michael Kaufman, another professor, Professor Timothy Ball, who I interviewed in March of 2007 and November of 2007, who's a veteran, you know, climatologist, climate scientist with over 30 years of experience, currently based out of Winnipeg and semi-retired. When you have people like him, you know, speaking about this and advocating that opinion, why is it so rare in our culture to find it? You know, why is it so rare in our culture to find the other side of this particular phenomena? Well, there's two reasons. One, our culture is controlled by a New World Order system, by AKA the New World Order. And two, that just shows you the proof right there. I mean, why isn't it in the education system? You know, in an article here in the Toronto Star, where it says, inside the halls of academia, where young people begin to challenge the world they live in, ask questions, and if unsatisfied with the answers, mobilize to voice their discontent. Why is this opinion of so many qualified people not being discussed? Why not by our media? Why not by our public broadcasting? Why not by the left? Why not by the right? Why not by politicians? Why not by the majority of people who are influence makers in our society? Well, it's because either directly or indirectly, they are controlled by the New World Order, either directly, and they have literal handlers and meetings they go to and secret societies, which, as former President John F. Kennedy mentioned at the end, at the beginning of the show in a speech in 1961, we should be opposed to. either they're members of that, or academic cliques or others providing, you know, overt pressure, or they are simply part of cultures where they smell which way the green windmills are blowing and decide to play along. And so many artists are doing that now, too. I see so many people promoting, you know, these messages, promoting the fact that we can all do our part. We all have to use less. And they're promoting what seems to work, much like a bunch of rap stars made pro-Obama mixtapes around October, November 2008 and late that year to help promote him and jump on what was an obvious bandwagon with respect to Obama. And then, of course, that was exposed to be a sham. And all these giant mass media hoaxes, from the war on terror rapture to the global warming rapture, can be exposed and have been exposed as scams if we know where to look for that information. and it says here, today's student environmental activists, this is from the Star article, have evolved into a more sophisticated and savvier lot than previous generations, firing on a different set of cylinders altogether. Their discourse contains more rhetorical flourish than angry salvos. They're seeking alliances with partners who, for a long time, were considered arch nemeses, and chaotic calls for radical change are accompanied by workable solutions and a better understanding of the way the world churns, says Stephen Sharper, an associate professor at the University of Toronto's Center for Environment. Quote, "These students don't hold the same attitudes of their forebears," Sharper says. "They're more open to traditional and non-traditional alliances. They have a clear-eyed, more sober understanding of the way politics, legislation, and activism can interact." And this is the co-opting of the environmental movement to say, look, we're going to do this, and corporations are really big and scary and evil. And if they do anything at all, at least it's something, and it's better than nothing, and it's better than just yelling at them and you know, whizzing in the wind. And so this is part of the system of fascism they're incorporating. And if you'll notice on all the posters throughout Toronto, all these new government-sponsored ads and, you know, housing is a right, and the April 23rd, you know, everybody chip in, duty sparing day, that's sponsored in part by Glad Garbage Bags and another corporation on that yellow sign. And so, you know, if you see, if you really want to know who runs this town, it is the corporations and the corporate fascist public-private partnerships that are also part of the SPP.gov North American Union. And so you can go to pressfortruth.ca, see the trailer for the new film United We Fall to learn more about that. But this is all happening right in front of us here. And back to the Toronto Star article, this is why you won't find Melinda Jacobs, 20, standing on a hilltop waving placards and shouting herself hoarse. When protesters of the Rainforest Action Network demonstrated outside the RBC's headquarters last month for being a major sponsor of the tar sands expansion in Alberta, Jacobs declined the invitation. She's more focused on, quote, constructive activism, she says. More meaningful change will come from people who have respectful conversations with their peers, says the outgoing president of the Trinity Environment Club at U of T. Quote, in the long run, the importance of this will be far greater than standing in a large group protesting. There are more meaningful ways of being an activist. And I completely agree with Ms. Jacobs. However, I don't agree with the idea that the environment and the modern environmental and well-promoted environmental movement and working with corporations to increasingly increase their control over us and legitimize their corruption and their regular pollution, because all they have to worry about is their carbon dioxide output, which is almost impossible to measure, and which the rich ones can buy carbon credits to continue polluting as much as they want anyway. You know, this is the idea behind this, is that they want to legitimize all that corporate corruption, all that corporate pollution, and get us to ignore it. So, there you go. But Mr. Clifton is in here, and he is about to take over for Jazz Bungie, so I am out of here. Couple of quick things to shout out while I leave you with this track, Run This Town. Infowars.com, ConspiracyCulture.com, Freedom Fest event starting this week here in Toronto. Look at ConspiracyCulture.com. Infowars.com is warning of a new potential false flag terrorist attack. Check out more details there. Internationalforecast.com, naturalnews.com here in Toronto, torontotruthseekers.com, having a street action this Saturday to see who does run this town. And quite frankly, folks, it's a good idea to get involved at this time in history with potential nuclear false flag terror attacks, with massive green propaganda out there, and with more to concern us. All we have to do is work together. Have some faith in people. Have some faith in what we can do about this by getting involved. You're going to feel much better about whatever it is you might be worried about. And that's enough for me. I'm out of here, everybody. Take care. Happy Earth Day. Do take care of yourselves, and do let someone else know what's going on if you get a chance. Peace out. Everybody asks for this, a fast life. We are on a crash course. What you think I rap for? To push a fucking rap for? But I know that if I stay stunting, all these girls only gon' want one thing. I could spend my whole life goodwill hunting. Only good gon' come is as good when I'm coming. She got an ass that'll swallow up a G-string. And up top, two beast things. And I'm beasting off the re-sling. And my nigga just made it out the precinct. We give a damn about the drama that you do bring. I'm just trying to change the color on your mood ring. Reebok, baby, you need to try some new things. Have you ever had shoes without shoestrings? What's that, yay? Baby, these heels. Is that a made what? Baby, these wheels. You tripping when you ain't sipping. Have a refill. You're feeling like you're running, huh? Now you know how we feel. What's up? Hey.